In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. So bow our heads, a little prayer for light. Heavenly Father, we are all unique as your children, all unique in your creation. Lord, just enlighten our minds, strengthen our wills to be more and more conformed to your Son, Jesus. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. My dear friends in Christ, our Lord Jesus Christ says a couple times in the Gospel, if you do not repent, you all perish as they did. And then we have St. Paul's letter to the Corinthians talking how these others who did not repent and what happened to them. But also the responsorial psalm talks about God's mercy. God's mercy is there constantly calling us to repentance, to trust us, to turn our lives around, and to face Christ. So what I'd like to do here today, mainly, I'm going to start off with a story, sort of a dramatic story, that I heard a number of years ago when I was in seminary. And then I'm going to draw some points from that and talk a little about repentance versus sorrow and some things we could do. The story is about one of the persons in the story is Margaret Mayfield. Okay, and she was a wonderful Christian lady, very strong in the faith, read the Bible all the time. And she would bring her children to school, wait to pick them up. She would have her Bible. She would read like one paragraph here, one paragraph there. And she had no hesitancy about talking about our Lord, saying prayers before meals out in public. So just a faithful person. I never met her, but I listened to her on the radio and I've heard some interviews. And just really a voice filled with a lot of joy and just radiates Christ in a real humble way. It's a real simple person in a sense. And she was shopping. This is in San Antonio in the 1980s, about 1981, 1982. And she's coming out of a store, sort of like a Walmart equivalent to, and all of a sudden she felt something right in the middle of her back. And she turned around and she saw a man that just like a rabid dog, she said. His hair and everything, he just looked like a mess. She said he really looked like hell. Just looked really looked horrible. And the man said this. He said, I am the man who killed the woman last night at the restaurant. And I'm going to kill you and make one move if you don't listen to what I'm saying. Now Maggie said at this point, or Margaret, she goes by Maggie, she wasn't aware that there was a manhunt for this man, that there was helicopters going about. This man had already abducted 30 women, raped them, brutalized them, and killed them. This man was just really a monster in a really true sense. And she didn't know all this. But anyway, so if you think, put yourself in her shoes. You're walking out of a store, all of a sudden, last thing you're expecting is a gun in your back and someone saying, I just killed a person last night, you're going to be next to it, listen. Now, she was perfectly peaceful. The love of Christ was so intense in her heart that the fear that she knew, I'm in God's hands. So listen, this is a true story. So when they got into the car, this is what she said to him right from the beginning. It's not a coincidence that you're here. Maggie is telling Stephen Marin, the mass murderer, it's not a coincidence that you're here. God brought you to this car. You think the hell that you're going through is bad. It's nothing compared to the hell that you're going to go to. And even though you've committed some horrible things, she didn't know exactly except for this murder, but he looked like hell. Even though you've committed some horrible things, God still loves you. With those words right there, he was just disarmed. I mean, he hadn't had this experience with the other people he's abducted. God still loves you. So he says, look, to start driving the car. People are asking me, why don't you drive the car? So she continued. She continued to speak about the love that Christ has for him, how Jesus had died on the cross. Then listen to this. She put some tapes in about an evangelist speaking about the love of Christ, his mercy and repentance. And so he's listening to this. He's got the gun there. And as they're driving, he said, driver, put the car off to the shoulder. And all of a sudden, he takes the gun, he opens it up the chamber, and he drops all the bullets to her hands. And he throws the gun down. Maggie said, I knew I was witnessing a miracle at this point. Stephen Marin, this mass murderer, later revealed at that point, the voice of God said, Stephen, this is the last time I'm mourning you. God has a great love, Stephen has a great love for all of us. God doesn't want anybody to go to hell. And that's why he keeps knocking on the door of our hearts. Keeps knocking at the door of our hearts. And our Lord brings this up in Scripture. I'll give you a lot of examples in a second about repentance. Listen to my voice. Conform your life to mine. Otherwise, it's not going to be good. And I want you to be with me in heaven. Stephen, this is the last time I'm warning you. But he had a true repentance there. He opened his gun, dropped Oh, the bulls on it. Now, he told Maggie, I want you to drive me down to this evangelist, the tape that we just listened to. And so they're driving, they stop at 7-Eleven. She actually calls her husband and says where she's at. The husband's horrified because he said everything in the news about this mass murderer, they're all trying to find him, they know he's in the area. And now she's telling her husband, I'm with the mass murderer, he's the one, I mean, he's in the car. And he's like, dropped out of a heart attack, listen to this. Well, she tells him where they're going, and then the police come. And Stephen is like a bus station where they're sitting, waiting for the bus to go down and see this evangelist. He's perfectly peaceful, and he tells the police officers this. This morning, if you would have come in here after me, I would have had my gun and I'd be shooting you. But I met this lady, this Maggie, and now I'm totally different. I'm changed. Now the police officers, you know, they've dealt with a lot of people who have said it before, like, well, what's going on here? So anyway, they handcuff and bring him away. When he's brought to jail, God with great mercy provides another person, similar to Maggie, someone that's filled with the Lord, loved the Lord, that's with him in prison that evangelizes him. And he's sentenced to death for all the horrible crimes he's committed. But the last couple of years before he died, he told the other prisoners about repentance. Repentance, and no matter what you've done, I was a monster. God still wants you. He loves you. And these were his final words before he entered eternity. Heavenly Father, I give thanks for the time that we've been together. Allow your Holy Spirit to flow as I know your love has been showered upon me. Lord Jesus, I commit my soul to you. I praise you and I thank you. This gentleman left this world waiting the merciful Savior. True repentance. Now, it's a powerful story of God's grace. In the scriptures, at least 56 times, just in the New Testament, as many in the Old Time too, but 56 times in the New Testament, the word repentance comes up, a call to repentance. St. John the Baptist, who's dominant during Lent, he starts off preparing for Christ, says, repent, for the kingdom of God is near. Jesus Christ, his very first words when he goes out and he's preaching, says in Matthew chapter 4, repent, for the kingdom of God, heaven is near. When the Lord, his ministry, he's calling Luke chapter 5, there's all these examples I put down. When Jesus sent out his disciples to preach, we read that, quote, they went out and what did they do? They preached repentance so the people should repent. And after his resurrection, Luke chapter 24, verse 47, repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations. And there's many other examples. In the Acts of the Apostles, St. Peter, his very first sermon, the people said, what do we need to do to get to heaven? He says, repent. And it comes up over and over again. Hebrews chapter 6. St. Paul still makes something very clear that we have to know, foundational for our Christian faith. He goes, quote, let us therefore leave behind the basics teachings about Christ and advance to maturity. So he starts off this letter, chapter 6, the particular chapter, just touching real quickly on some basics. But he says, look, we should all have this down now, this foundation, then go up to higher levels from infancy in the faith to maturity. So he says, the basic foundation, without delaying the foundation all over again of repentance, the foundation of our faith is repentance, that we're sinners, that we need a Savior, that we need Christ. So he talks about this foundation of repentance. Repentance from dead works and faith in God. What are dead works? When we're living a life without God. When we're eating, breathing, everything we're doing it separate from God. We're called to have faith in God. When we wake up in the morning, Lord, I give this day to you. When we hurt someone, we tell the Lord in our heart for sorrow for what you did, and we tell that person. So dead works, but with repentance, becomes lived faith in God. Now, repentance, it's not an emotion. We're in our hearts, oh man, I just don't feel good about this. True repentance is an act of the will, a decision. I did this, Lord, and by your grace, I'm never going to do it again. Stephen, this is the last time I'm warning you. True repentance, he took the gun up and dropped all the bullets out. Last time he picked up a gun. Last time he had killed someone. Boom. Total repentance, change of life. Now, there's a great Catholic author named Peter Kreeft. He said that word repent that St. John the Baptist used summarizes the message of all the prophets, of all the preparations for the Messiah. Now, this is true repentance versus just like a sorrow. Repent, that is turn. Turn around, face God instead of running away from him. So many people don't want to go to church, don't want to hear about confession of that because they're running away from God. They're falling right into the devil's hands. Our Lord says, you got to repent. Turn around. I'm the answer for all your problems. I'm the fulfillment of all your desires. Don't run from me. Repent. Turn your life around. Change. Come towards me. I will heal you. I will give you strength. I will give you peace. And I'll give you eternal life. But you can't keep running from me. I've given you a free will. You have to make an act. Well, that's it. I'm going to change this in my life or that in my life. And Lord, I'm going to start running towards you. I'm going to start running towards you. Many times when people are running from God, there's sins and things in their heart that terrifies them. And what they forget is God wants to heal them. If he could take a man like Stephen Marin and all the horrific things that he did and still love him and get him this grace, how much more us? Now, in the Bible, I'll give you an example. This is Judas and Peter. This is something I had thought about for a number of years. And then one day, right, when we read scripture, sometimes a new light comes in. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 10. What happens is St. Paul makes a distinction between Peter and Judas. They both betrayed the Lord, right? Remember, they both betrayed the Lord. Now, Judas, it said he had remorse. He had remorse. He took his 30 pieces of silver, he went back, take it. But then what did he do after that? He went out and he hung himself. He went out and hung himself. He didn't seek the face of Christ. St. Peter was different. Now history says, St. Paul says, godly sorrow brings repentance that leads to salvation and leaves no regret. But worldly sorrow brings death. So Judas had a worldly sorrow. Oh, you know, I had it better than I thought. We had the Lord there, we had this, or how that he lost that. Peter's like, I hurt the Lord. He had tears of repentance. Tears of repentance. And so when our Lord sees him on that Easter, right away he says, peace. Again, I say to you, peace. Peter, I know you're weak, but I know that you still seek my face. He could have just ran, kept running and running, like Judas running, hung himself. But he stuck with the apostles, so he was seeking the face of Christ. That's so important. Okay. Now when you hear this, you may think, well, Father, great. I'm not like a Stephen. I haven't committed 30 murders. I haven't done this. I haven't done that. Okay? It is true in a spiritual life. In one sense, it's easier going from a state of mortal sin, dead, to a state of grace than going from being good to being better. Okay? But the Lord loves us so much. He wants us to get rid of overeating, nagging, bad temper, selfishness, lazy, etc. Or just laziness in the spiritual life where we're only praying just a little bit. He wants us to overcome all that. He doesn't just want us to be good. He wants us to be the best. You know, for those who are parents, godparents, grandparents, just look at your children. You want the best for them, don't you? You want the best. Well, I hope they just make it. I hope they have just this. No, you want the best. God, our Father, looks upon us as his children. He wants the best for us. All those imperfections and faults and detractions and gossips, he wants us to overcome all that. And he wants to help us too. He's not out to get us. He wants to help us. So he says, come to me. Come to me in confession. What are your problems, your burdens, your sins? I'll give you specific graces to overcome them. This one author, beautiful holy priest, died about 2 years ago, Father Thomas Dubé, if you watch UW Tenney's on, has written many books. He basically has the rule called the B's, the letter B, A, B. The B's. He says, be concerned about God, your neighbor. Be concerned about your spiritual life. Be determined that you have a goal or that you want to become holy. Be committed to prayer. It can't just be a hit or miss. It's got to be something consistent. Be committed. Be motivated. Hey, it is possible. With God's grace, I can do all things. I can overcome this fault or that fault. I can make it happen. Be humble. Being humble means I'm relying on God and that I'm turning towards him daily and frequently throughout the day for strength. Be specific. Lord, here's my fault that I'm really working on. I've told this story before, but Benjamin Franklin, he wasn't really a devout Christian, but he met some Jesuits in France. And he saw these Jesuits, and he was really encouraged. They had this examination of conscience. Every day they would look at their faults at the end of the day, and they would try to zero on a couple things to become better. So he looked at his life and he had 13 predominant faults. Overeating was one of them, some other things. He had 13 predominant faults. So his motivation wasn't religious, like a deep Catholic religion, becoming sanctified. But he wrote down his faults, and for the first week, he worked on one particular fault. Then next week, we're working the next fall. For 13 weeks, and then we start to cycle over. We go through it once and twice. Doing that. So God wants to help us. He wants us to be perfect and then be persevering. How many people begin the race? I'm out of breath. Oh, I'm too fatigued. I throw in the towel. Well, things aren't going the way that I want. This road's too rocky. Well, look at these potholes here. And they sit out. We gotta persevere. We gotta persevere. You know, day in, day out. Other things are going well, not persevere. So the B's, be concerned, be determined, be persistent, be humble. And then the final thing about true repentance, three things, really easy to remember. The three C's for true repentance. Contrition. I did something, I'm sorry, contrition. Confession, we confess it out, especially the mortal sins, serious sins, and venial sins to help when we go to confession. Contrition, confession, and change. I'm determined to change this in my life. And that equals true repentance. So last, let's ask the good Lord, the merciful Lord, when we receive Him here today in communion, Lord, what areas of my life do I need to repent? What areas? Help me, Lord, to have contrition. Help me to confess it. Help me to change. Help me to have true repentance. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, come on.